is Dolla White, and this is the Dolla White Podcast. My guest today is spiritual guide Kenya Raymer, who is here to talk about alignment, purpose, and of course, spirituality. Now, Kenya is also my wife, so if at any time during the podcast it sounds like I'm flirting with her, it's okay. I'm not some creepy old man. I may have become a creepy old man had Kenya not married me, but she did. Now I'm her creepy old man. How the fuck did she get so lucky? Welcome to the Dolla White Podcast.
Polo Gini. Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolla White Podcast.
Episode 11 now of the Dolla White Podcast. My guest today, spiritual guide Kenya Raymer. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Full disclosure for the three people that may not know this, Kenya and I are married. She's my actual wife and I am her husband. We've been married for 5 years. However, we're not here to talk about our marriage relationship. We're here to talk because my podcast highlights dope people that do dope shit. You're a dope person that does dope shit. So that's what we're here to talk about today. So let's start there. What is it exactly that you do?
I feel like this is the hardest question for me to answer, but I've been thinking about it since you gave me a prep and I appreciate that. Okay. I am a spiritual guide. And so then I've been thinking about what does that mean? To me, it means that I guide people on their journey, whether they call it spiritual journey, intuitive journey, a healing journey, a growth journey, any journey in which someone is seeking to expand. When I sat in and I thought about it, I've been doing it for a really long time, maybe over 10 years now. I'm seeing that I did it even before then, but I guess publicly, visually, I started doing it about 10 years ago with a natural hair journey. And so I think that all of these journeys, you know, spiritual journey, intuitive, growth, healing, they're all leading you back to the most authentic version of yourself. I feel like that's what I guide people to do, and how that manifests looks different. Sometimes it looks like me being on Instagram talking about my natural hair journey. And sometimes that evolves into me talking about how I met this guy in Nashville and then I moved in with him 6 months later, and then sharing my journey on dating and getting married and marriage and family, just sharing my journey. Sometimes it looks like me offering readings, me offering clearings. Right now, it looks like me offering classes. Sometimes it looks like me making a post on Instagram. It manifests in a lot of ways, but I'm just kind of here to lead people back to themselves in all the ways that manifests.
You talk a lot about purpose. I think when people think about purpose, they think, I have one thing to do while I'm here. This is my one thing. This is my purpose. Do you feel that purpose kind of changes with time, or do you think that we're all here for one thing?
So I think that purpose, not so much like one specific thing, but maybe one general thing. And I don't think that purpose changes. And I think that in your 20s, you're doing this and it will be developing a skill or a network or a personal characteristic or an awareness that will assist you, support you, give you clarity once you do come in contact with your purpose. And the same thing with your 30s and then your 40s. So I think that our purpose does stay the same. We may get more clear on it. It may become more specific, or the ways in which we execute or attempt to reach our purpose, or the ways that our purpose manifests, I guess. So if my purpose is to be a spiritual guide, in July, it looked like readings. In August, it looked like clearings. November, it looked like classes. So it looks like it changes a lot, but my purpose continues to stay the same. And during these different offerings, the ways in which my purpose manifests, I'm picking up new skills, new awarenesses, new networks, deeper knowledge of self, deeper healing for myself, which then raises my consciousness and my awareness, which allows me to dive deeper into my purpose, to spread it further, or to reach more people with it. So I don't know that I believe that purpose changes. I don't.
You also constantly talk about if something doesn't feel right, say no. And you're one of the only persons that I know. And I guess maybe I can ask this question because I do know you so well. But you're one of the only people that I know that can like confidently say no, not have to have an actual reason. You're just like, yeah, I don't want to do that. And you leave it at that. And I don't think enough people have that skill. Is that something that you have always had, or is that something that kind of took you time to develop? Because most people are like, all right, I got to tell this person no, me especially, I got to tell this person no, and I have to have X amount of reasons. And if one of those reasons is a lie, then fuck it, it's a lie. And that's, I just lie, and that's what it is. You are not built that way. You are no, and that's it.
Honesty is the best policy.
I know, I agree. I wish I tell you all the time, like, I wish I could do, I wish I had that.
This has been not an issue, but a topic of contention in our marriage since before we even got married. Yeah. I'd be like, just tell the person you don't want to go. And you're like, no, I'm going to tell them I broke my leg and I was in the hospital.
Exactly.
For a week.
That's much
what
easier.
The fuck? Just tell them you don't want to do it. So I think that I've always been this way. I think that I have always felt empowered to do what I want to do or do what I'm feeling called to do, and then not doing what I'm feeling called to do, and then not having a problem with verbalizing it. I don't like confrontation. I don't like to make people feel upset or disappointed, especially people I love. You know, this is like very hard for me to communicate with people that I love because I don't want people I love to be hurt or in pain. And so I'll chalk it up and I'd rather throw everything on my back. But with everybody else, boundaries are not a problem. I don't like to let people down or disappoint people. But what I really don't like is to be in situations where I don't feel good. So I'm just very aware of the things I do and do not want to do. And then the consequences to that, I don't feel good afterwards. And then most often other people don't feel good either. You know, I think I grew up around people who weren't this way, and I saw the consequences on their life of doing shit they didn't want to do.
I ask that because it feels like what you're teaching now, what you're doing now, the very beginnings of that intuitive process started with the ability for you to say, yeah, I don't want to do that, and I don't have to give you a reason, and that's that. Is that something that you teach in your class? Is that something you've talked about in readings and clearings and stuff like that with clients that have come to you? I think that's part of the spiritual process for you is something tells me not to do this. I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do it.
Is that why you have me on? Because you don't understand what I do in my work and you're trying to better understand?
No, I don't know. I understand what it is you do for your work. I don't know every detail of it. Like, I'm not in the house like eavesdropping on your classes or anything like that. So
I think that honoring yourself is the basis of spirituality, period. When we don't honor what our body is telling us, what messages we are receiving, what we know to be true about ourselves and the world around us, that's self-betrayal, period. When we come into the world, we're in alignment. This is like my glasses. Before we pop in, we're a soul out here and we gather with our team, which are other souls and spirits. They're going to guide us along this way. And they're like, okay, you're about to pop into this life. Your name is Kenya. This is your purpose. These are the gifts or the abilities that you will have to reach this purpose. You will come in contact with this person, this person, this person at this destiny point, and you will do this, this, and this, and this. Along the way, you get free will. And you're like, so cool. It's what I came to Earth for free will. But remember, use it to only do good and to move towards your purpose. Don't use it to move outside of your purpose. And you're like, yeah, I got it. You have your free will card. You're like, boom, popped in this life. I'm about to do this. And you get in and you're in alignment. That's why we say kids are connected and they're so pure and they just say things and we're like, wow, because they're in alignment. And then as we grow, we start to accumulate trauma or conditioning, and it makes us veer out of alignment. You know, for example, when you're 3 and you're like, look at it, I'm building this, and look at this, mom, and it's a boat and it floats. And the parent goes, wow, that's really amazing. I like the way your mind works. You always create the most amazing things. And now the kid is in alignment. They're able to voice the things that they're thinking and that they're expressing, and they're receiving validation for it. And so they stay in alignment. So they say the same kid, build in, look at this, it's so cool. It's like a boat and then it flies into the space. And the mom's like, no, that's dumb. You can't have a boat that also flies into space. That's stupid. Shut up. Nobody wants to hear that. That's dumb. And so then the kid learns right there, what I have to say, it makes my mom feel like this and say these things to me. And so I'm not going to say them. I'm not going to be my truest expression of myself. So now that when they were in an alignment, they've now kind of veered off a little bit. So the more we veer off out of alignment, the more likely we are to betray ourselves because we're already out of alignment. But when we stay in alignment and we receive validation, whether that validation comes in the form of external or me, like I did that and that felt good, wow, we are more likely to stay in alignment. So once we start this process of self-betrayal, we start to veer off the path of alignment and we end up out here making decisions out of alignment, out of our best interest. And so we are already trained, conditioned, programmed that the way we receive validation, love, praise, external, whatever, is to do this. And so instead of saying, hey, I don't want to go because it may make someone feel like this, it may make someone react like this. And in that reaction, you don't get love, you don't get support, you don't get understanding, you don't get validation. So you're like, I'm going to lie. Say I broke my leg and I was in the hospital for a week, so I couldn't come to their barbecue. Instead of just saying, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it or I'm not going to come. Because you don't want to. And so now you're staying in alignment because you know that that's what's best for you. That's what feels good. And that is the basis of spirituality. Listening to, trusting, and then acting on the things that we feel and know to be true to ourselves. That's how we stay in alignment. Staying in alignment is the basis, the foundation. That's what I teach in my course, how to stay in alignment.
If I'm a person that's out of alignment, and no comment on whether or not you think I am or not, let's say you don't know me and I come to you and I'm like, hey, I'm out of alignment. I know I'm out of alignment. What would you say step one of trying to get back to that place would be? Like, how do you start?
How do you start the work? How do you get back into alignment? You listen to what your body is telling you and you honor it. So if you're tired, you need to rest. If you're thirsty, you need to drink water. If you feel drained around a certain person, you need to create boundaries around interaction with that person. If you are feeling like I need to eat citrus today and put my right arm up, then you need to eat citrus that day and put your right arm up. Your body knows exactly what you need to heal and to be in alignment. What happens is we go, no, I don't like citrus. And that's stupid. Why would I put my right arm up? Like, I'm gonna just walk around like this. And we question the messages that we receive or the things that we want to do or naturally feel comfortable or come to us. We get in our own way. We're like, I'm tired and I need to rest, but also I need to finish these 10 projects or I need to stay up on Instagram and scroll endlessly for 2 hours. We get in the way. So first things first, you are receiving messages all day long in the form of thoughts, in the form of cravings, in the form of body aches, in the form of external cues. When you hear something on the radio, when you see something on TV, when you read a sign that you're passing, you're like, that's weird. I was just thinking about that. All of these things are messages from the universe and your higher self going, hey, bitch, get back in alignment. Do it this way. Do this first. This has nothing to do with you. But if you are eating like a ton of sugar on the weekends and then you don't feel good the following week, I feel like that's
you said this is not about me.
You. This is no. This is about someone totally random, like that I have no knowledge of. It's just something that I'm pulling out of the air. But like on Monday and Tuesday, if you feel like shit, that is a message from your body that says slow down on whatever is making you feel like this that brought you to this point.
Quitting the sugar is what's making me feel like this, not eating it. See?
No.
Works both ways.
No, I don't think that it is.
I know you use a lot of tools, or at least you did. I don't know that you're using the same amount of tools like tarot cards and candles and sage, things of that nature. Obviously, there's a lot of groups of people believe that those things are harmful or not good or the devil's toys or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what people call it.
Trying to out me for witchcraft. Yeah,
exactly. Like, what do you say to people that have those doubts because of whatever traditions or religions they were raised with?
Okay, I think of it like this. So we got into a conversation about this in one of my classes, and I asked Spirit for an analogy that would help people understand. And I received like the coolest analogy. Spirit, God, universe, the source, it's all the same thing. And their job is to bring you home, back to Spirit, back to yourself as a spirit, back to oneness with Spirit, God, universe, source. However that resonates with you, it all works for me. That's a big job to do. And so Spirit, God, the universe uses all the tools possible. And so what they likened it was to Christmas and how Santa has a really big job of getting toys and Christmas cheer to all the kids in all of the world, and he has to do it in one night. And so he employs a lot of help. He has elves, he has Mrs. Claus, he has reindeer, he has like a whole workshop going. He has all of his helpers who dress like Santa at all the malls across the world. He has all of these places where you can drop letters, you can send in a call or a text of your list. He has all of these ways in which he manifests to get Christmas cheer, to get holiday spirit, to get whatever you want to call it, to the people of the world. Spirit is the same way, in that they have a big job, and so they employ a lot of help. And it looks like ministers, pastors, religion, spirituality, tarot decks, a Bible, crystals, essential oils, healing methods like Reiki or pranic healing, yoga, meditation, endless manifestations of God, of spirit, of source, of the universe. All are ways to bring you home. Your job is just to find one you connect with and then keep connecting so that you can keep connecting to yourself so you connect back to spirit. God exists in everything, manifests in everything, is not apart from anything. And so God is also a part of these tarot cards, these crystals, any divination tool that you want to talk about, that is also a manifestation of God. It is your right to use it to reconnect with God. And we would be silly to not use all of the tools and resources at our disposal. It's why religion comes in so many manifestations, because there are so many people. We are all so unique. It would be silly to think that one religion would fit us all.
I asked that question because I feel like somebody involved in religion would look at another religion and be like, oh, okay, like if I'm a Christian and I look at a Muslim, like, okay, they're Muslim. And then you don't ask any questions, or you don't point any fingers, or you don't have any judgment. But when people see spirituality, which doesn't fall under one roof or one definition like other religions do, they question it. And it seems like it gets judged more than somebody judging another religion, I guess, because spirituality is so, I want to say, fluid. It can be so many things, whereas a lot of religions are very defined, where they fit in this box and that's it. If you're in this box, you're this religion. And spirituality can kind of move in and out of those boxes as it wants.
I mean, before religion existed, spirituality did. And religion kind of came in and stamped out spirituality, a lot of times being used as a tool for purposes of control or patriarchy purposes, you know, monarch purposes, bringing people together under one concept so that they could be more easily managed. I think that what it comes down to is spirituality, like you said, is so fluid. And since there is no box, there's a lot of ways in which it can manifest. And that creates a lot of fears, because what we don't know about feels scary because we can't control it. And as people, we want to control to feel better. I mean, even look at it like my race. People want to know what I am so that they can control their behavior around me, so that they can control their words, they can control the interactions between us, so they have more awareness on how to behave in the situation. But if you don't have this awareness on how to behave in the situation, you feel out of control. And most likely, those are people who are outsourcing their power. I show up as who I am in any situation.
Don't I know it?
It doesn't matter if a person, I don't care about their race, their religion, their sexual orientation, socioeconomic status. I'm showing up as me every time. And that's because my power source is internal. Who I am comes from within. And so I am that person in every situation. When we get people who are pulling their sources from external, like relationships or other people, they need to know information on how to interact with you. And so I think that's why people are quick to demonize spirituality, because there is an element of fear which creates a perception of a lack of control. And if they can't control you or doesn't know enough about you, they fear you.
One more question, I'll let you out of here. Whenever you offered up readings, they booked up in a matter of minutes. Your classes book up in a matter of hours. But it's all women that come to you. Is that just something that you believe you're giving off? Or do you think there's a block with men when it comes to spirituality?
So I think the answer to this is a little more complex than that. So I think that when we came into this life, we were spirit and we said, okay, this is my mission. This is my purpose. These are my gifts. Also, once I bop into this life, I'm going to meet up with this person, this person, this person. So these people are not random. They're our soul family. We're here to work on the same types of issues. It's why we're drawn to people that have similar interests as us, because it's divine design. We come in contact with them one way or another, and we feel drawn to them. We feel connected to them. I feel like a lot of my clients or my students or even anybody who supports me on Instagram feels that way. We are working on the same issues, most likely mothering, most likely reparenting, most likely trauma in childhood around neglect. We all have the same wounds. And so it's divinely designed that I am working with women at this time. Now, do I think that there is a block with men in spirituality? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
I do think that there is a little bit of a block. And I think that it's divinely so that the divine feminine wakes up and heals first and causes a catalyst for the divine masculine to wake up and then heal as well. I think that it's slowly happening. I see it even in our relationship. You, I wouldn't say waking up, but coming around to having an interest in things that I'm doing, and not necessarily spiritually like, hey, what's that sage, but unpacking your trauma, starting to see patterns and cycles around your attachment style and how it manifests in your life, healing, unpacking your shit, getting closer to alignment, getting back to who you came into this world as. I think that the divine masculine is coming around more, but I don't think that right now that's my calling. I am activating, I am working with expansion of the divine feminine first. I have worked with, as you know, a couple men here and there. It's been interesting, but I think that for who I am, I think my calling is directly and always will be directly related to women, because part of what I'm doing is around mothering. I definitely see the divine masculine awake out there and doing work. I follow men on Instagram who offer similar classes and similar things to what I'm doing to come back into alignment. And they work specifically with the divine masculine, with men. I do also think that more women are waking up.
I agree.
Or coming to healing sooner.
I think that's what I was trying to get out there, is because I see on my timeline a lot of women that are starting down the path that you've gone down, and I see like zero men.
And now, why do you think?
Honestly, I think it has 100% to do with male ego, and I think male ego is hard to let go of. I think that men have to put out something in the world for other people to look at them a certain way, and I think it's purely ego-driven. What is this person going to think of me if I start doing yoga? Yoga is something that is not masculine nor feminine. It just is. But I think a lot of men probably have an opinion of yoga that it is feminine. And if I go somewhere barefoot and I sit in these poses, that's not masculine of me. And that's what
I would agree with that. I think that goes back to seeking validation externally. The divine masculine energy itself is all about structure. It's all about access to resources, power, discipline. It's that conquering energy. The divine feminine energy is all about intuition. It's all about values and prioritizing what's most important, and it's about creation. And so, first of all, everyone has both divine feminine and divine masculine properties within themselves. The purpose of your healing journey or to heal yourself is to balance these energies. So, where we're not living outside of one or the other. We're not constantly creating, but not bringing in any money from those creations, or we're just driving for the money, but not doing anything that we're passionate about, right? The goal is to be in balance and create and do something, put something out into the world that we love, and also have money from it, be able to have resources, structure, access to resources, right? We're seeking the balance. So I feel like the divine feminine is most likely waking up first, because we as a society have been programmed towards the divine masculine side. Like, capitalism is all about access to resources, structure, stability, who can be the best and at the top and have the most. So like, even as a society, we're all driven towards that. And it feels to me like the divine feminine is waking up first, because it is within us to be more connected to our intuition. Society allows that. that more so than it does for the divine masculine, more so than it does for men. Society says you have to provide, you have to have money, you have to have access to resources. And these resources are what validates you. External things validate you. Houses, car, income, money. This type of thing is what says you are or are not successful. Where society kind of allows a little pocket for women to tap into that innate intuition and create, whether it be childbirth, creating life, or other projects, passions that come from themselves. I just feel like society has more of an opening for women to be in touch with their intuition than it does for men. Your job is to be validated externally, where women can be validated internally, because no one can validate your intuition but you.
No, I
think that's why it is. But there are men out there doing the exact same thing that I'm doing.
I mean, I had Rev Jeff on episode 3 or 4. I can't remember which one, but yeah, Rev Jeff, one of those people.
Exactly. And he's one of my teachers. And so.
All right. So where can everybody find you? Instagram, Twitter. Also, if they are interested in taking your class, they have to follow you very closely. You should probably turn your notifications on, because once she says that, hey, this is coming, those classes fill up like that. So
everywhere you can find me is Happy Truths. Instagram, Happy Truths, even my website, which I don't really use anymore, but that's happytruths.com. If you want to have information on my classes or me, I'm basically putting out content on Instagram only right now. And so you can find everything, I guess, about me there and how to book a class or a reading when I resume those services. The link to book is also in my bio on Instagram. So that's Happy Truths, H-A-L-F-I-E Truths, T-R-U-T-H-S.
All right. Thank you so much for doing this. And for the first time in this podcast, I love you and I'll see you in a little while. I've never said that to a guest before. So.
Love you and I'll see you soon.
All right. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by William Wilson of the Hammonds Group. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate here in the state of Tennessee, there's no one better than William Wilson. He is literally the best. I personally know every single realtor in the entire state of Tennessee, and I'm telling you, he's the best one. Maybe that's not true, but there's no way you can prove it. So you must go along with it. Anyway, call William, my actual friend, for all of your real estate needs. 615-216-4809. Again, that's 615-216-4809. Tell them Dolo White told you to call. Once again, I want to thank my guest, Kenya Raymer, my actual wife, for doing the podcast today. Again, you can follow her at Happy Truths, H-A-L-F-I-E-T-R-U-T-H-S. On Instagram to keep up with her. You can follow me as well at DolaWhite101, D-O-L-E-W-I-T-E 101 on both Instagram and Twitter. And if you're on Clubhouse, I'm on there as well at DolaWhite101. Got another great episode dropping Tuesday of the podcast featuring Keisha Knight Pulliam, TV's Rudy Huxtable, and actor Lance Gross. We're going to have them together to talk about HBCUs next Tuesday. Definitely make sure you subscribe to this podcast, download it, and tell all of your friends. I'm out.